birthday today for Wynonna Judd. She turns 59 years old today. Of course, rose to fame with her mother, Naomi Judd, in The Judds, the country music duo. They had 26 hit singles in the country charts, 14 number ones. This was Wynonna Judd's big country pop crossover song, No One Else on Earth, where people who had no idea about The Judds learned about Wynonna Judd. Birthday today for her. She is 59 years old. Thanks for joining us here on the program. Scott Bertram sitting in on The Steve Gruber Show. We're joined now by Dan McLaughlin. He is senior writer at National Review, nationalreview.com. Find him on Twitter at BaseballCrank. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Talking about your recent cover piece in National Review, Justice and Slander. That's the piece in the National Review print edition, these recent criticisms and critiques from the left on Justices Thomas and Alito and even John Roberts going back. Why are these attacks perhaps different than ones we saw 5 years ago, 6 years ago? What's different about what we've seen in the past three, 4 weeks?
Well, it clearly seems to be a coordinated push, right? I mean, you had for a stretch there, I think they've dried up a bit by now, but there was a stretch where there was sort of a drip drip of stories every single day, a different outlet. In some cases, a rotating roster of outlets, each pushing a new story on a common theme, which was arguing that there is an ethical problem with the court, just happened to all coincide with the Democrats having scheduled a hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee, arguing for ethics standards for the court. And so all of this, you know, it really looks very much like a commonly organized effort to discredit the court. I think it frankly is very little of it is about sincere concern for the ethical purity of the court, particularly given how flimsy some of the attacks are. And my argument in the magazine is really that this has to be understood in the broader context of, you know, a couple of decades worth of escalating attacks by progressives against the court.
Let's take those attacks specifically against Justice Thomas. He seems to be the major target of the left. Is there anything that you've seen in any of those allegations, those splash stories in various outlets day after day, that causes you concern? Is there anything there?
There's a little there. There's not much there. I mean, I think the question is, first of all, Thomas has, you know, he's accepted travel and family favors from a very wealthy businessman who he's been personal friends with for three decades, and who clearly admires Thomas for his immovable principles. And so it really, you know, Harlan Crow, the billionaire in question, really, there's no sign that he's been trying to buy influence or anything. I think to the contrary, you know, all of the facts that we have suggest that he's, you know, one of these wealthy men who, you know, wants a certain amount of the reflected glory of being around a man that he regards as a historical figure. That's part of the justification, for example, for why he bought Thomas's childhood home, has commissioned paintings of him and whatnot.
Right. And I loved your line in this piece at National Review, Dan McLaughlin. Where is it? There is one and only one well-known way to influence Clarence Thomas, and that is to write a persuasive law review article. That's the way he approaches his job.
Yeah, and look, there is plenty of evidence of him doing that, right? He cites a lot of law review articles. He reads them. He takes the idea of philosophical consistency more seriously, I think, than anybody who's ever been on the court, even Justice Scalia.
Dan, the stated goal, they've introduced legislation, in fact, recently, of the left with these attacks is to expand the court, to eventually to pack the court. How do you compare the strategy, the tactics being used today and the end goal with, we go back nearly 100 years, with FDR and his attempt and his drive to pack the court that was ultimately unsuccessful? How do you compare what's happening these two times?
Yeah, I mean, there's two parallels you could look at. One is how FDR reacted, and the other is how conservatives reacted to the Warren Court. I think that's very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what conservatives did essentially was, there was some sort of right-wing The John Birch Society put up billboards about impeaching Earl Warren, but basically within the halls of power and within, you know, conservative intellectuals, Republican politicians, there was never really any effort to do anything like that to really tear down the court. What they focused on instead was building their own institutions and developing their own ideas, you know, the Federalist Society, that sort of thing. What you have on the left here is in some ways like what FDR did, right? Because FDR ultimately failed to get the court packing plan through, in spite of the fact that his own party had overwhelming control of the Senate and the House. The leading committees in the Congress denounced the whole thing. The media turned on him. FDR did this in the aftermath of a huge landslide reelection, and the court packing plan was basically as unpopular with the public as FDR was popular.
Tim McLaughlin with us, the piece at nationalreview.com, The Unjust Attacks on Thomas, Alito, and Roberts, also the NR print cover story, Justice and Slander. You say the justices are uniquely unsuited to respond to this negative PR campaign. And of course, you're right. You're not going to see Justice Thomas or Alito call a press conference to refute these attacks. So what is the best way to sort of work against these allegations being thrown at the justices?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few responses, but not a lot. I mean, Chief Justice Roberts wrote a letter to the Senate explaining why he wasn't going to be dragged in front of a Senate committee. Thomas put out a statement on the Harlan Crow stuff. Alito gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal about sort of the effort to make the justices into targets of assassination by means of the Dobbs leak. But yeah, they can't conduct a PR campaign because the whole point is that, you know, if you get down in the mud, then you no longer look as if you're, you know, someone who is at a certain impartial remove from American politics, even though everybody knows that the justices all have strong commitments or they wouldn't have ended up on the court. So, yeah, I mean, all they can really do is soldier on, stay at their posts and keep doing their jobs. But I think it does mean that, you know, for example, Republican politicians and conservative commentators do, I think, have to step into the void and defend them because they can't really adequately defend themselves.
Dan McLaughlin, you can check him out on Twitter at Baseball Crank. He is senior writer at National Review, the piece at nationalreview.com or in the recent print edition of NR. Dan, thanks so much for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Always glad to be here.
That's Dan McLaughlin. Find him on Twitter, as I said, on Baseball Crank. A good follow. Also, as the handle might indicate, he's a big baseball fan, too, as am I. This portion of The Steve Gruber Show is brought to you by Patriot Foods. PatriotFoods.com adding new products for 2023. Try the new dried blueberries, 1-pound, 4-pound packages. Discover pancake and waffle mixes with amazing flavors of buttermilk, chocolate chip, 5-grain celebration, cinnamon, gingerbread, and peanut butter. And what goes better with pancakes but pure Vermont maple syrup from Farmer's Best? Blueberry, strawberry, peppermint bark, pumpkin spice, salted caramel. Make your life easier with Patriot Foods. Use the promo code America. Get 10% off and free shipping with orders of more than $100 at patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. I'm the Steve Gruber.
While driving a car, there's a lot you have to pay attention to. Speed limits, directional signs, other cars and trucks, and more. But when it comes to watching out for motorcyclists, it's not always easy. Motorcyclists are hard to see. In fact, 1,500 crashes between vehicles and motorcyclists happen each year in Michigan. Vehicles turning left at intersections are especially hazardous for motorcyclists. So look twice. Save a life. Sponsored by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and the Michigan Department of State.
Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley welcoming you back to Susan's cubicle here in Accounts Payable. What an afternoon of nonstop bookkeeping action, Charles. Are you kidding me? She set herself a reminder to get out of that chair and move.
That's a smart use of a timeout.
She's somehow still reading her emails while getting her heart rate up and moving her muscles. Healthy habits that could lower your risk of cancer.
Uh-oh, it's Karen from the IT department.
This is a wrinkle no one saw coming. She means well, but she just derailed the yoga class down in accounts receivable.
There she goes with one of her usual distractions.
But Susan just tosses her a no-look wave.
That's a crazy move.
Let's watch that again. She's stretching, and there's the effortless side wave.
Susan's putting on a clinic.
Susan from Accounts Payable. Dominating. Just get moving. It helps in the prevention of so many cancers.
Stand up to cancer and Optum want to help you reduce your risk for cancer. Visit TakeAHealthyStand.org.
Attention all Bridge Card users. Did you know you can now use your Bridge Card at many Michigan farmers markets? Farmers markets are a place where Michigan families can connect with local farmers and purchase fresh, healthy produce. Now that opportunity is available to even more Michigan families. Thanks to the Michigan Farmers Market Association and our partners, many farmers markets across the state now accept Bridge Cards. To find one near you, visit MIFMA.org. This message sponsored by the Michigan Farmers Market Association and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.